God. Let's look in the Word of God tonight and read a scripture and let the Lord begin to move by His Spirit. Supernatural things are powerful. The gifts of the Spirit are some of the most powerful things that God does when He starts moving by those nine gifts of the Spirit. Found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. There are two double, God always works in double portion. There's two double nines. There's found in Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. And you can't choose one over the other. You can't just preach, let's all have a great church and let's love everybody and let's be quick to forgive each other but not have the power of the supernaturalness of God. But we can't have the supernaturalness of God and walk out of the place and be bitter and mean and mean-spirited and things of that nature. I'm not knocking anybody here. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm not your pastor, and I'm not trying to preach to you. But if you're one of those people that got a kind of a ugly spirit about politics, you need to get delivered. You need to get delivered because there's something bigger going on than what's going on. I know it's a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. My heart is, you know, I go with God. I don't go with Democrat or Republican. I just go with God, whatever God, I feel like God's wanting to do. And that's what I pray about and I pray for and things of that nature. But there's something bigger going on here. And you know, no matter what happens in our physical realm, if we get the spirit realm right with God, at best, 70 plus years down here. And what is that compared to even just the millennial? The millennial will last 1,000 years. In which those that are in Jesus Christ will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. And I did not say that you can't go out of here and be an activist and you can't go out of here and take up for the people that, you know, your folks, or you vote for whoever you think would help you be the president. Well, whichever president would help you the most, that's how you vote. And it's just the way it is. But you can't let that be the only agenda in your life. When I start talking like this, I have people get up and walk out church. Because they don't take their argumentary spirit away. Because what would they have left if they didn't have to argue about things? Well, I found that you can get all of that done without having to be ugly about it. You can have faith and believe God. I believe that if people would unite together, we can cause things to happen in the White House. I mean, it takes a lot of faith, but I believe we could get things done and we could see God do some great things. I mean, I believe God still is in control of the United States. And I don't want to get in prophecy because I hear so many people preaching about so many things about prophecy, the doom of the United States and all this stuff, and just absolutely no biblical foundation for any of it. Let's get back to what's important now. And that is the Spirit of God, repenting of your sins, being baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and doing your best to walk with God. I mean, every day I'm just trying my best to walk with God. Sometimes I have to repent and try to keep a good spirit in Los Angeles. When I'm driving over there, I try to keep a good Holy Ghost spirit. And I now live right outside of Dallas. And Dallas, boy, you have to stay prayed up to be on the interstate over there. And I get all kinds of people wave at me all the time. I won't tell you what they're waving, but they wave all the time. St. John chapter number 4. God's going to do some big things in this service. He's going to do some great things tonight. I've come to the place that I realize that he's going to always show up. I don't take him for granted, but I always know he's going to show up. St. John 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Something was compelling Jesus to go through Samaria. And Samaria was not a friendly place. If you were Jewish, you were not welcome there. If you were Gentile, because Samaritans were half Gentile, half Jews. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Two things. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was sitting on this well talking to you, you would have said, 'Give me to drink.' Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." If you knew who was asking water from you, you would have responded, and you would have asked for the living water. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Oh, I skipped. I turned a lot of all at one time. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that same hour, last verses of that chapter, in which Jesus said unto him, "Thou son liveth," and himself believed his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea. Jesus did a lot of miracles around this well. But what he said at that well was so important. What Jesus says determines what you receive. And what you hear and what you recognize determines the fulfillment or the dimension of what God does in your life. Somebody calls you out, tells you something, a preacher preaches a word of God, an evangelist or a pastor calls for an altar call, says, "Everybody come up here, God's going to do this and God's going to do that." You still have to have faith. It has to be mixed with faith. Everything God does, he does through faith. You can't ignore him. You can't dodge him, and you can't doubt him and get anything from the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare the word of God, what you said, Lord, at that well will come to pass in this service. Lord, you have sent me to this service today. You've given me a word of faith, and your presence is here right now. And I am just in complete obedience to you. Touch the people. Illuminate their minds, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to be praying for several people. I know that because God spoke to me when I walked in the building and has been speaking to me during this service to pray for several people in this church. And so I know I'm going to pray for several people. A few weeks ago, we prayed for every person in the building. And it took every bit of the energy and all the strength I could muster. But we did it. God said to do it. He spoke and said, "Everyone that's willing and wants to be prayed for, I want you to lay your hand on them and pray. And if I give you a word, you give them a word." Now, you don't do this. It's not your calling. But if you've ever prayed for prayer lines, you would watch a man of God praying through a prayer line, and you would recognize how miraculous physically it is to pray for that many people. Now, if you're just standing there and just passing out 10% off at McDonald's, you're not going to get tired. But if you are praying earnestly inside your heart, your spirit, you're praying and with your heart, and everybody wants, if somebody's going to pray for you, you want them to pray and mean what they're saying. And you want to connect with them. You have to feel the empathy, and you have to feel the burden for people. There's no greater message than when you feel that message. When you're preaching a message that you feel it, you must feel the message. To all the preachers in this service tonight, you've got to feel that message. And when you're singing, you've got to feel that song. Or it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. You say hi to somebody, you can't just be looking over your iPhone and not even really, it only counts if you stop and look at them and and speak to them and say hi to them. And so there has to be an input, a connection. I'm going to preach about, this is something God just spoke to me recently. And I don't want to mess around here and start talking about it. I'll start preaching it. But I'm going to preach a revelation that God gave me not long ago, a few weeks ago. And it's one of the most powerful revelations I've had in the last year. But Jesus sat on that well on purpose. He had a reason for it. He was there. And she showed up. She became the center of what he wanted to do. If it's just for a moment in this service, if it's just for a few minutes, that God just all of a sudden determines, I'm going to do a miracle for you. I want you to recognize how powerful that moment is. That the Lord is focusing on you and he is speaking to you. When you read a scripture and it stands out, that's God focusing on you. When you feel a message touching your heart, that's God focusing on you. When you sense and feel the altar call, that's God looking at you and getting his eyes, his mind, his heart on you. It is true that when you get your mind on God, it creates an avenue for God to flow down through and to get his mind on you. The Bible said that blind Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus. He would have walked by him and would have never healed him. He was only healed because he got the attention of the Lord. And so many times we come to church and, oh, if the man of God calls me out, if I feel this, if I feel that, if this happens or that happens, and we don't understand that's not good enough. It's not good enough that you're just sitting on the side of the road waiting for someone to stop to pick you up. You have to stick your thumb out. It's comical when you see all of these cardboard paragraphs that people hold on the side of the road, and you know, all of them are trying to get your attention. Why lie? I want to buy some beer and get drunk today. You know, just almost want you to give something to them because they're being honest, but knowing that they're trying to get your attention. And blind Bartimaeus cried out and would not stop crying. And his attention was on the Lord. When the Lord has your attention, you're going to get his attention. That's all there is to it. And that's what he was really saying. It wasn't a play of words. Give me something to drink. If you would have asked me, I would have given you water. He's asking for water. And he's saying to her, if you would have asked of me, I would have given you something to drink. You'd never thirst ever again. He was basically operating in that law of, if I've got your attention, you're going to have my attention. And I'm going to tell you something. I want the attention of God every day in my life. I need it. I don't just need it to preach. I don't need it to make a living. I need it because I want to go through this world and make it. I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to see my family blessed. I want to see the kingdom of God blessed. I want to help everybody that I meet. And so every day I want to give God my attention. I love these moments every day that God intervenes into my heart and he begins to speak to me and talk to me. I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have the voice of God speaking to me. Well, Brother Winslow, I'd like to hear the voice of God. It's the number one question people ask me. I want to hear the voice of God. And I'm going to tell you, you can't hear the voice of God if you're not giving him your attention every now and then. You recognize anybody's voice. If you round them enough and you hear them talk enough, paying attention to your conscience, paying attention to the man of God, paying attention to the word of God will help you to recognize the voice of God when God speaks by his spirit. Well, what good is that, Brother Winslow? Well, faith cometh by hearing. God not only tells you, I want to save you, I want to heal you, I want to do miracles in your life, but he also gives us the ability to have the faith to do it. He says, you must have faith. Without it, the preacher said it, without faith, it's impossible to please me. But then he absolutely gives us the ability, sends it to us. I wouldn't dare pray for anybody to walk into a pulpit that I did not ask God to help me have his faith. I've asked it several times today. I've done whatever it is that I know in my heart to do, to walk in faith, to believe God. But there still has to be something on the other end of the line. The Bible said Israel went 40 years around wondering because they never mixed faith with the promise of God. You have to mix faith with it. You cannot say, well, if Brother Winslow calls me out, then I'm going to get healed. You need to say, well, with Jesus, all things are possible. And God can heal me. There's no way I come to church thinking I've got to be the master of every circumstance and every situation. I love it when the Spirit of God just begins to move and do things and God does miracle things. I was in one service. God spoke to me and he said, I'm going to speak one word to you. And that one word is going to create 50 miracles. And so he spoke to me, this one woman in that church, and everybody in that church knew her well. She did not have the Holy Ghost, but she would visit the church. But she had hepatitis C. And she had six children starting at the age like 17, 18, and into their 30s. And they all of their lives were a mess. They were, some of them were bound by drugs and all kinds of things that were going on in their life. And she had hepatitis C and she was dying. Her liver was completely gone. They would not give her a transplant. And so she was in that service. And the Lord said, I want to show you the power of recognition. I want to show you that just by recognizing who I am and recognizing the gift of God, what can happen in the lives of a church or people. It's not just worship. We preach worship all the time, and worship is important, but recognition is as important as worship is. You know what's going to get you to show up here? I don't care what singers we got. Some people won't show. I don't care what preacher's preaching. They won't show. But if they start hearing that Jesus is in that church and Jesus is doing miracles, they will show up. And that's the power of recognition. There is something you're not seeing right now tonight that's costing you. There's something you're not seeing right. There's something you're off the balance. You're off the bubble. And you're either giving blame to something or credit to something, or you're blind to something, or you're hung up in something in the past. And you're not recognizing something the Lord is trying to do for you. Remember what the Lord said to Israel? I came and stretched my hand out to you all day long, and you never saw me or recognized me, or you never responded to me. I think the greatest tragedy of any service is the non-responding to God when God is reaching for you and trying to pull you and trying to touch you. There's something you don't see right now that one day is going to cost you. Either you don't see something God has for you, or you don't see the danger of something that's coming down the road towards you. Now, God spoke to me a few months ago, and he said, and everybody's ministry has to grow. Your ministry cannot stay the same. It has to grow. You can't be the same preacher or saint of God every year. There has to be something in your walk with God that gets deeper and stronger. The depth of where you're at today will not be sufficient next year. Haven't you noticed the world's getting more wicked? Have you ever noticed it's harder to do what's right than it's ever been? There's more sins on the horizon for the young people than there were 50 years ago. Originally, there was only one sin that man and woman had to stay away from, one tree in the midst of the garden. But now there's a forest of stuff. And the level of deceptance, of being deceived, is so high now. We need the awareness of the supernatural. We need the operation of the Spirit of God in our church. We need the highest order of the supernatural. I will never make any excuses for the faith of God and the gifts of the Spirit. I will never make any excuses for trying to go beyond the ordinary. I make no excuses for attempting to believe God in any dimension of the Word of God. I make no excuses for anybody that God tells me to pray for, whether they turn me down or walk away or whatever they say to do. If you were to throw me out of this building, I'd dust myself off and get myself back home and start another revival. I want the devil to know tonight, I am going to be aware of the presence of God. I'm going to be aware of the operation of God. Tonight you can make it up in your mind. Some of you just come here, and I'm not knocking it, but some of you just came here just to get something from God. But that's not the greatest level. And I go back to this old worn out cliche that people have used for the last 20 years. You get a fish, you give it to a man, you feed him for a day, but you teach him how to fish. And all of a sudden he can feed himself and his family for a lifetime. And even though that's a cliche, it's so true. That we can either try to touch every person and try to see every person saved or healed, or we can awaken the awareness of who Jesus is and where he's at and the timing of the miraculous and the calling of God and the voice of God. God can right now in this service touch your ears to hear what the Spirit says. You can walk out of this service and be sensitive to the Spirit. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. So Jesus tells his disciples, in other words, he really told them, he was really saying, you guys are worried about physical food and you're worried about getting into a town and you're worried about grubbing, but I've got something else on my mind. Go ahead and go and do your thing and I've got another plan. I've got something else I've got to do. They wasn't even there. They missed out. I don't want to miss out any miracle God's got for me. The tally tonight of people that was supposed to be here would probably shock you. A call came in. Something happened, an argument. Something took place. They were enticed to do something else tonight, but God had planned for something supernatural in this service. But the good news is, I'm not going to preach to those that are not here. I'm going to preach to those that are in this place. Jesus is in this house. He lives in this house. He sits on a well waiting on you to come down there and to draw water from that well, only to hopefully recognize who Jesus is. Would you recognize him? Could you recognize his presence in this place? Well, I can tell you right now, every preacher can recognize when he's not here. I can tell you that right now. I can recognize when he's not here. I can recognize when his hand's on my hand and his mind is in my mind and his power is upon me, and I can tell when he's here. But I can also tell when he's not here, and I can tell when he is here. And when I say he's not here, I mean that something I'm not obeying, there's something I'm not recognizing and I'm not seeing. Everything in my life is gathering steam and is getting greater and stronger so that I can recognize who he is, where he is, and what he's doing and how he's doing it. And that's what he was telling this woman. Here comes a woman with a clay pot, and she is going to get a limited amount of water. Everything in life and in our physical realm speaks of limitation. Everything. And sometimes we carry that limitation into the house of God. Just because people in your life has rejected you doesn't mean you're going to get rejected in the presence of God. You can go to churches that reject people, but it doesn't mean the presence of God's going to reject you. If you're not careful, if you don't recognize the gift of God, how God operates, you'll come to a service and find somebody in that service that's done you wrong, and you'll get up and walk out or hunker down and not have faith and get an attitude, and all of a sudden you miss a miracle that God has got for you. I don't want to miss one miracle moment or one moment of contact with the Spirit of God. Let's everybody lift our hands and give him praise right now. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the gifts of the Spirit stirring up over this church tonight. Oh, my, Brother Winslow, somebody prayed for me 30 years ago. It never came to pass, so I don't believe it anymore. But your car breaks down, you don't start riding horses. You just go get another one. You just get it fixed. Something happens in your house, a light goes out, or something doesn't take place. You don't give up on that. I'm not going to give up on my God no matter what. You don't think I've had people prophesy things to me that haven't come to pass yet? Could have been my faith. Could have been the timing. Could have been something in the future, and I thought it was instantaneous. There could be a thousand things. And so I'm just going to, when God speaks something or somebody tells me something, if it's biblical, if it's right, I'm just going to believe it. And if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to miss a miracle God's got for me because of something I didn't understand or something I didn't recognize. My prayer tonight is that God will touch every one of you and that you will ask God to give you a sensitivity to his Spirit and that you can start hearing his voice and start being led by God. Romans 8:14, they that are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says. One of the great inherited blessings is to be led by the Spirit of God. To be led by the Spirit of God in your home and house. To be led by the Spirit of God in your job. To be led by the Spirit of God in the house of God. To be led by God in times of trial and temptations. To let God guide you and lead you. In a few minutes, we're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. We're going to do our very best for God. If I say the pain's here and it's here, have that much faith. Huh? Have that much faith. Who knows? Maybe it did start right there, but you feel it over there. I mean, who knows? There could be a thousand. I mean, so many people that are just, they're just ripe and ready to be confused. And I'm going to tell you, I don't walk in that. I tell God every day, if you never heal me ever again, if I never have a great blessing in my life ever again, if I never feel your presence ever again, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to live for you because there's nothing any better. I don't serve God to be healed. I don't serve God to get a surprise $100 bill. I don't serve God for position in the house of God. I don't serve God to be a preacher. I serve God because he is my king. He's not my president. I don't elect him. He's not my congressman or congresswoman. He is my king. And I'm living in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God supersedes every kingdom in this earth. Well, I know you go through the same thing, and I go through attacks of witches and warlocks, and they show up in our services. I was in a service not very long ago. True story really happened, and a witch got up and started screaming curses at me, and I don't mean like cussing me, but I mean putting curses on me. And before I could even get on her case, the pastor had slipped out the side, I mean, and grabbed her by the hair of the head and drug her out of the church and threw her physically out of that building. And he told her, how dare you come to God's house with your trashy mouth? Get out! He said, well, He could have been sued. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I would grab her by the hair of the head or not, but he did it and he got away with it so far. But I guarantee you 10,000 witches and demon spirits knew they'd get a whooping if they showed up at that church, and that's probably the last time a witch has been to that service. Recognition. I was in a service in Nevada not long ago, and the Lord spoke to me. Washington. I was in Washington, in the state of Washington, and the Lord told me, he said, two demon-possessed people are going to come in here. But don't worry, I've got it. And don't even stop, don't even allude to them, don't say anything. I've got it covered. And the Lord began to tell me, there's some men in this church, I've already spoke to them, and these two demon-possessed people came in and started doing some of the most vulgar stuff you'd ever seen in the aisle of the church. And only the last three or four rows could see it. Because God had warned me, I did not respond to it. And so that service never lost any momentum. We didn't get sidetracked messing with demons. When demons show up and you can't cast them out, it's because they came there just to disrupt. The people don't want deliverance, but they're being driven by those spirits to go and disrupt and hopefully to dishonor the man of God and to show the people that he doesn't have any power. But our God sits on a well and says, you're not limited when you ask water from me. You're not limited when you lay down whatever you are and whatever you've been through and whatever you're thinking and whatever you think about things, and you let down the clay vessel that is limit, has a limit to it, and you start walking in my spirit where it's unlimited. How many would like to start walking in the unlimited favor and the unlimited power and the unlimited anointing of the Holy Ghost? It's yours. It's yours. No preacher can stop you from getting it. No deacon can hinder you and stop you. No church can kick you out and keep you from getting it. It's not in the hands of the preacher. It's not in the hands of the church. It's not in the hands of an organization. It's not in the hands of the leaders of the city. It is in the hand of a living God who says, if you can get my attention, if I can get your attention, I will do great miracles in your midst. Come on, let's praise him right now. Let's get our mind on the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I'm absolutely not coming to this church tonight with a vessel of limitation. I'm not coming here with a doctrine of limitation. I'm not coming here with a praise of limitation. I'm not coming here with a faith of limitation. I'm coming here saying, yes, God, you are the source of water. You are the source of the miraculous, and there is no limitation. Come on, let's praise him, everybody. God's watching us. He wants to let this go. Let's praise him. We're not going to stop. Let's praise him. We're fixing to move into the realm of the supernatural. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, if you knew who it was, if you really knew who was up here on this platform, if you really could see past the preacher, if you could really see the God behind the man of God, if you could really see the God that's, if you could see the God that's behind the church, somebody needs to say to themselves, if I never get my hand shook, I'm going to worship God in his house. If I never sing a special, if I never get this or I never get that, I'm going to get the supernatural touch of God. I'm going to drink from the well that never runs dry. I'm not going to let where I came from determine where I'm going. I came out of a horrible family situation. I came out of this. I came out of that. There's nobody in this church that came out of a worse condition than I did. I don't like to talk about it. I would never want my brothers and sisters to ever hear me talking about it. But I know what it is to be abused by a person. I know what it is to be beaten with boards and stenching cords and all kinds of things. I know what it is to be locked up in a closet, told every day you're nothing, you'll never amount to anything. You got bad blood in you. And I believed it. And so it just made me so angry that I'd do anything. You did anything to me, if I wasn't big enough to do it right then, I found a way to do it. And I wasn't a nice person. And all that stuff had made me stutter. I couldn't read words, and I read words backwards. And I was just a mess of a person. But when I came into the presence of God, you know what I said when I walked in the church? I said, I don't belong here because I'm no good. You see, there was something I didn't recognize. There was something I didn't see. When a man came by and looked at me and sneered at me and saw me and how I was dressed, it only made me feel that even more. I had focused on the wrong thing. You will become what you focus on. What you listen to enough, you will become it. And so if you set before you the striped stick, all that give birth to Jacob's flocks were striped. When he put a speckled stick in front of those female animals that were given birth, they gave birth to whatever was the stripe or the speckle of the stick. Because his father-in-law had said, I'll reward you. You can have the speckled ones, but all the others belong to me. And he was trying to jilt Jacob. But Jacob used the supernatural. It's in your Bible, folks. If you don't know, it's in there. He literally put a stick in the front of the delivering animals. And whatever kind of stick he put in front of that animal, that's what they threw out. And his herds got bigger and greater and better. You can set your offense. You can set in front of you what people are saying about you. You can put your past in front of you. You can walk in the house of God and say, I'm not a great singer. I'm not a preacher. I'm nothing. But that is not the truth. There is something you're not recognizing. There's something you don't see about Jesus. When it comes down to it, it's what Jesus says and what Jesus believes and what Jesus thinks that's going to make all the difference. Not what I think about you. I will not let the devil deprive me of the supernatural. I will not let the enemy steal from me. In 1996, I was a pretty young guy in 96. But I'm just glad to get older. If you're not getting older, then you're not here. You know, I could be forever 48, but I wouldn't be living. And I'm believing God for 125 years of ministry. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, I don't want to look bad, but I mean, I've got to do a little something out here along the way. But I've made my mind up. I'm not going to go by what I see, but I'm going to go by what I believe. And isn't that what faith is? There was a young lady I called out the other night in McLeod, Texas. And I didn't know anything about her. I was just telling her these things, and it was absolutely 100% right. They came up, told me after church, and she had these horrible migraines. She'd throw up and get sick. Well, like 5 days later, she's at the house of God. The revival's over. 5 days later, she comes, walks in the building, and a migraine hits her, and she starts getting dizzy, goes in the bathroom and wants to throw up, and somebody comes and gets her, and comes and gets the man of God, and he stands outside the restroom. She comes out, and he gets ready to pray for her, and he says, didn't the Lord tell you you wouldn't have them anymore? Here's the difference. She was saying to herself, but God, you said I wouldn't have it, but look, I've got them. But the man of God said, didn't the Lord say you wouldn't have them? We won't accept it. We're not going to accept these headaches. And he conveyed to her the faith, the strength to say, I will not accept it. And they left immediately just like that. There's something you're not recognizing. Well, the man of God prayed for me and nothing happened. And you just went home? and just said, I didn't feel anything, I didn't see anything, nothing happened. You know, I couldn't tell you the number of miracles, big miracles, mind-blowing miracles that God did, and you couldn't even tell he did them. Prayed for a lady one night in a wheelchair, and I mean, the Lord just absolutely told me she's going to get healed right now, not tomorrow, not next week, and I said it. I said, she's getting healed right now. And the Lord did, if the Lord doesn't tell me, if the Lord tells me, pull somebody out. I grabbed a woman the other night that had a neck brace, and I shook her like a rag, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And I threw her out across the church. But the Lord said, do it. I wouldn't dare do that without, but the Lord said, take dominion over this and grab that brace and don't be intimidated and shake the unbelief out. I punched a man that had a big tumor in his stomach. I said, I asked permission first. And in Jesus' name, pow. And I hit it. The Lord said, you sissy, la la. That's not a hit. That's half faith and half doubt. You're more worried about him hitting you back than you are me getting on your case for not believing. He said, I said, hit him, and now you're going to hit him twice as hard. And I just, he went, oof. I think he had tacos that day. A little something came out of his mouth. And the tumor was gone. I'm not making it up. Because why in the world would God? I don't know. I don't know everything. But I know that God told me that woman's going to be healed. And he didn't tell me to grab her out of the wheelchair or anything. And I declared, I said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And they rolled her out that night. I could not let it bother me. I couldn't. I couldn't. There's just the absoluteness of God. And I know God. And I know his voice. And I just cannot be intimidated by it. I've got to have faith and believe God. If I start second guessing, I get nothing. And I can't go beyond what he tells me. But when he tells me something, I got to believe it. Yes. And so the next day, she knocks on the evangelist's door and at the church in the room and walks in, walking around and thinking I was going to be like all excited about it. I just crossed my arms and looked at her. She's walking all over the living room. Okay, whatever. And so she looks at me and said, well, aren't you going to say something? I said, I sure am. As soon as you stop prancing around, I'm going to tell you something. She said, well, what is it? I said, you low down, good for nothing, stinking doubter. She said, what? I said, you got healed last night, but you was a chicken and afraid to get out of the wheelchair. And God told you to get out of that wheelchair. And you didn't rob me because I'm hard headed. I'm going to believe God. That's right. But there's some people in that service went home and said, God didn't do it. And I said, you robbed them of something. And I said, but you got healed. You didn't go home and they helped you out of the wheelchair. I saw it. God showed it to me. You got to your front door and you walked in. They pushed the wheelchair behind you. Isn't that right? She said, yeah. And I said, you walked all over the place that night and everybody clapped and it was all great. And I said, but you got healed in that service, but you didn't have the faith to give God the praise. But you got healed last night. She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in my wheelchair to church tonight. Right during the song service, I'm getting up walking. I said, that's between you and God. I'm no part of that. I said, because then they're going to say, that Brother Winslow staged a miracle. I said, I have nothing to do with it. You do whatever you want to do. And right in the middle of the service, she jumps up out. And they thought, oh my God, that's a powerful song. Sing it again. But she got healed the night before. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of faith. But it taught her something. It taught her something. There's something you're not seeing tonight. There's someone that's in your life that doesn't belong in your life. And you don't recognize it. You don't see it. There's something that you're not doing that you're supposed to be doing for God. And I'm not preaching to somebody who can't just wait to quit your job and go evangelizing and you're going to use this as an excuse to do it. I mean, for real, there is something that God's trying to show you about faith and about his word and about soul winning and about your attitude and about worship and faith. God's trying to show you that the best way to get nothing is do nothing. But when you can give God your attention, the next dimension is God's going to give you his attention. He's going to walk by blind Bartimaeus, but blind Bartimaeus looks at him and gives God his attention. Thou son of David. And so this woman has a limited source of containing water, and the water she wants will not last. And Jesus says, if you knew who I was, and if you knew the gift of God, you know what that means? Do you know who the Lord is, and do you know how he operates? Do you know he's miraculous? Do you know that if he doesn't do an instantaneous, it doesn't mean he's not going to do it? Do you know that when you sow and you give, you may not get it back the very next day, but it will come back to you? When the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, it really means this. If you look at it and you read it, it's saying that when you give something to God, if it doesn't come back the next day, it gets pressed down a little bit more, and a little bit more gets added to it. So if it doesn't happen right away, it's going to be a bigger miracle. The biggest miracles are the miracles that don't happen instantaneously. My question tonight is not about God's power and God's ability, but my question is, Lord, I got to be at my best. I got to believe you. I got to recognize what you do. I'm going to say one more thing, and then we're going to start believing God and praying. How many is ready to see God do some great miracles in this place? The Lord, I can't do any. But if you're not called out, how many will say, I'm in a miracle moment? If God starts doing miracles for everybody else, I'm in a miracle moment, and I can dial up my miracle, and I can speak faith in this environment and get it. God spoke to me and said, I'm going to start giving you a ministry of dreams. And so I'm starting to develop a ministry of dreams and interpreting the dreams. And they come, of course, they're so plain. It's not a lot of interpretation to the dreams. I'm in service. I see people in the service, and I see what's wrong with them, and they get healed. And so I get in those service offices, and I recognize that's a dream I had. There's the building. And oh, there's someone right there, I know I'm going to pray for them. And this is what's going to happen. And they have this disease or that, or they're going through this, or they're in the midst of a divorce, or they're fighting things that you and so it helps. It's just part of being sensitive to God. You can't say every dream is from God. I don't know if you're Facebook friends with me or not, but the other night I had a long, lengthy revival, and I really exerted myself, and I got on a plane long flight. It was detained, and we landed, and it was just a long day, just part of just my job. And so I get home, and I'm going to bed. It's 10 o'clock. I don't ever go to bed at 10 o'clock. But I'm just give out tired. I'm wore out. I go to sleep, and I have a dream. People try to make it like a God dream. Maybe it was. I don't know. But I don't believe it was a God dream. But I'm in this dream, and somebody breaks in my house. And in this dream, I grab the lamp, and I throw it at this person breaking into my house. And all of a sudden, I hear a crash, and I wake up, and I just threw the lamp. I reached over and literally grabbed the lamp and threw it. And Sister Winslow's poor dog, almost hit the dog, and he's running and rolling around and trying to get out of the way. And Sister Winslow's sitting up in the bed, whoa, what is that? And my lamp has just crashed. Big old glass, expensive lamp. And when my eyes shut, I reached and grabbed it and threw it at this guy. Well, if it's spiritual or something like that, I'll have to start carrying lamps to church with me in case somebody tries to come in and give me problems. But unless the Lord reveals it, that's probably just a dream. It's, I'm under a lot of stress that day, and I'm weary, I'm tired, I'm not sleeping good, and something's able to get through there and bother me. So you have to know what's going on. But God started giving me dreams, I've had dreams and people's gotten jobs. I have dreams of addresses, and I'll pray for somebody. I said, what is this number here? I prayed. God showed me things like that, and I've told people. I knew it was them. Like I saw them in my dream coming through that door with the address, and I said, what is 608? And They go, I don't know. I said, oh, come on. You mean I know where you live and you don't? So, oh, what's my address? I said, McFly. Is anybody at home right now? Hello? Wooden head. And the man of God knows your address. You don't even know your own address. I told one woman, I named four kids. And one of them, she said, I don't know about that one. It was her son's name. Come on. How do you think he felt sitting out there? Mom, I'm your son too. But that's just some of the stuff the Lord has to deal with. So I'm preaching three services in one day. And so the pastor tells me, he goes, Brother Winslow said, I'm gonna drive you to the other two services. You had our service in the morning, and said the 2 o'clock and then the 6 o'clock when I'm gonna drive you out to the other two. And you could just rest. And if you want to sleep, whatever you want to do, sensitive to the Spirit of God. If you knew who it was, if you knew how I operate, I'd give you stuff. You'd never be hungry, never be thirsty, you'd never be sick, you'd never be discouraged. It's possible to never be depressed or discouraged ever again. It is. It's possible to get healed of whatever it is that you've got. That is a very likely thing to happen tonight in this service. More likely to happen than not. For you to break through in your life and to recognize Jesus and how he operates. And when somebody comes and says, oh, the Lord doesn't do stuff like that, and you know better. My people come to me all the time. I don't believe in your kind of ministry. I said, yeah, you probably got the deadest church in the world. I said, the Lord had to resurrect 200 people because you've been preaching doubt and unbelief to them. And so we get at that morning service, and I get in his truck, and he said, I'm not going to say a word to you, Brother Will. I'm not going to talk to you. Now, I don't know about you guys, but on the day that I preach, and I don't do a lot of talking. I don't like to talk. I talk. People make me talk. I don't want to talk. And, you know, I'm trying to get quiet, listen, get my mind on God, get ready to give God my best. And so he said the magic words, I'm not going to talk to you or anything. You just sleep and do whatever. And so I said, I'm just going to lean over here on this door, and I'm going to get me a little shut eye, and you wake me up, and we've got 10 minutes from the church. And I go over there, and all of a sudden I have a dream. I mean, not right away, but I have a dream. We're driving down the interstate, or a four-lane highway. It's not an interstate. A small little boulevard between, and a grass boulevard. And all of a sudden I have this dream. It's real fast. I mean, it's going real fast. And a truck comes over in the lane and hits us, and our car flips and just goes flying through the air. And I just screamed. I came out of that dream, and I slapped the preacher across the chest. And I said, throw your brakes on and get in the other lane now. And he throws the brakes on, pulls over, and that truck just barely misses us. Comes over in our lane, runs out behind us over in the ditch. And he looks and says, oh my God, Brother Winslow, that you just saved us. I said, well, if that'll help my offering, put it down, write it down. What's it worth to get saved in a car wreck? I said, I'm joking. I said, no, I didn't do anything. The Lord just saved me in your hide. There'd be nobody preaching the next service. Not nobody in this truck. And I said, if God would have miraculously let us live, how long would it have taken us to get our act back together? I said, the Lord just gave me a dream, and it was at high speed, like you speed up something. And I said, I just responded without even the things that God does. Not only saves you in your spirit and saves you in salvation. I'm going to tell you, if you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you better keep it. And if you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you need to stop your complaining. You better stop. You're walking around feeling sorry for yourself. You've got the Holy Ghost. You don't have to go home defeated. You have access to the Spirit of God. You have access to the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, if you would unplug a few things and turn a few things off, if you get rid of some magazines, if you get rid of some of your friends, so that you can get your mind on the power of God and the supernaturalness of God. If you're asking to be healed, if you try to eat a little better while you're asking to be healed, don't ask to be healed of sugar diabetes and eat 6 Krispy Kremes tomorrow morning. You say, well, Brother Winslow, you're a hypocrite. You go to McDonald's. I know it's not any good, but it just makes me feel better. I never order French fries and a hamburger. I go in, I either get French fries or a hamburger. I don't get both. Why? Because I want the Lord to know I might need a healing, and look, I'm trying. I used to eat 3 times. I would stop at McDonald's and eat large, biggest fries you could get, 3. One day the Lord said, you're just wearing me out. I said, what? I'm just having to heal you every night. How about getting a little something? I know what I don't look like, but I've cut way back. I've cut back. All right, that's enough. Let's stand. I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. Hallelujah.